Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
This month is Endometriosis Awareness Month. It's a condition that we've talked about at length here on the programme over the past number of years. So I decided to go out to one school, St Michael's Holy Faith Secondary School in Finglas in Dublin, to listen to Endo and Me, which is a talk to students about menstrual education and endometriosis.
So I'm here to talk to you about the condition that my sisters have called endometriosis. You'll be surprised at how difficult this seems to be to say. So I'm going to teach you how to say it. And you'll thank me in years to come, because you're hearing it more and more and people say it so wrong sometimes. So it's endometriosis. Can you say that with me?
Endometriosis.
So now you can start. So what is endometriosis?
Hi, I'm Rachel Cunningham. I'm one of the founders of Endo and Me, my two sisters, Ruthann and Aoife.
So do you want to tell us what this is about, what Endo and Me is about?
Endo and Me was set up to give teenagers, especially female teenagers, more information about their menstrual health. ME, menstrual education, is the ME in Endo and Me, and about endometriosis and some similar other complications that they can have.
I don't recall anything like this back in my time in school. I presume you're probably somewhat similar.
Exactly. And that's why we set it up, because all of us have endometriosis. We were all diagnosed very differently, and none of us had the information that we want to impart to these girls so that they can feel empowered and advocate for themselves in the future.
So this is a condition that you have, and you've talked about that before. I suppose, like, it is something that's getting an awful lot more publicity now in recent years. Do you find that from talking to some of the students and the teenagers, that they're even more tuned in, or they're more aware of what this is?
Yeah, absolutely. We do a little bit of a questionnaire at the end, and we've been doing this for 2 years. And I'm actually just noticing today, after the two talks we did, there's a lot more of yeses when we ask, have you heard of endometriosis before? So it's definitely, compared to 2 years ago when it was all no, there's a lot more people that have heard of it, but they still don't know really what it's about. What are the symptoms of it? They don't know the detail, but they've definitely heard the word, which is a great step forward in 2 years.
Yeah.
But actually imparting the information that they need to know for themselves, for females in their lives, is really important to us.
So you're going around different secondary schools, not necessarily all female schools, but you're going around different secondary schools to sort of inform them and educate them about their menstrual cycles and endometriosis.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've gone to some mixed schools. Mostly they're female dominated schools, but we have gone to mixed schools as well. It is important for the men in the females' lives to understand it and know about it. And maybe teenage is a bit young for that, but anyway, they've come and it's been really educational. And it's very important that they know their menstrual cycle as well. And we're finding, although the endometriosis piece, they've heard the name, they don't know the detail, and they don't really know about their menstrual cycle. And in the way that we teach it, and the way that Aoife teaches it, in terms of their hormones and how important that is to know your own body. So it's been really, we're getting really good feedback from the pupils about it.
Hi, I'm Aoife. I'm a co-founder of Endo and Me with my two sisters, Rachel and Ruthann.
So as part of the discussion here today, it was you're kind of starting at the very beginning and talking about the menstrual cycle and how for most women, I suppose, that will be.
I'm very passionate about, we have to understand what's normal and what's considered normal for in all our health, especially our reproductive health, before we can work out what's abnormal. So I like to start at back at the basics and also explain our menstrual cycle unrelated to pregnancy, which is kind of impossible. But I suppose we learn, and they learn in school, how to get pregnant, but they don't learn what happens and how we can work our bodies to our advantage based on our hormones.
You're talking to the girls here today about, you know, their menstrual cycle. You're talking to them about what everyone's normal period should look like. But then you're also kind of flagging with them endometriosis, what that is, and the kind of signs and symptoms, maybe, you know, what to look out for, what the girls in the room should be aware of.
Yeah, so we start with what the normal symptoms are, because there's normal symptoms with your period, and we really want to hammer home what's considered normal and how to manage them, and then we talk about what's abnormal, and it's easier to differentiate between the two then.
Yeah. And if people wanted, you know, to bring a chat like this or bring this sort of discussion to their school, how do they go about doing that?
So we'd be delighted to go to any school. So you can get us on our Instagram, Endo and Me. And then we also have an email address. So that's endoandme03@gmail.com.
I'm Ruthann. I'm a singer-songwriter and I'm a co-founder of Endo and Me.
So Ruthann, you've spoke to us many times on Lunchtime Live, you know, about your own experience with endometriosis. As part of that, you and your sisters have obviously decided to set up Endo and Me and to kind of bring these informative educational chats to schools around the country. How is that going?
It's going amazing. I mean, at the end of the day, we just want to get the information out there. I think if we can get one student, even two students, that recognise some of the abnormal symptoms that we talk about, go to their GP and get an earlier diagnosis, then we've done what we set out to do. And it's all about raising awareness for endometriosis, because me and my sisters, there was nothing like this. We weren't taught about our bodies, what could be abnormal, you know, so it's just too important to not do it. So it's going really well. The feedback is amazing and the students are always really engaged and they really seem like they want to know about their bodies. No one seems embarrassed. They don't seem that they're like, yes, tell us, we want to know. You know, you can see it in their eyes.
Well, for me, unfortunately, similar to what we heard from the girls there, I have my own experience with these conditions. I suffer from adenomyosis. And for me, it was a very, very long process to just be heard and to be almost taken seriously by doctors. So when this came about, it piqued my interest because I thought, well, if I can help someone to avoid what I went through, it would really just make my job as a teacher feel worthwhile, because sometimes it can be challenging. You know, I'm an Irish teacher and they don't always want to learn about Irish. But I thought this is something that could really make an impact to a young girl's life.
Yeah.
And I just think it's such a positive thing that there is such a resource available for all our young women. It's interesting because I've noticed, so this is the second time that Endo and me have been in our school. The last time was 2 years ago. And I've noticed a shift in just the girls. So like the last time Endo and me were here, it seemed like it was a brand new thing to a lot of our students, but today they seem to be much more knowledgeable. And I even had other year groups outside of transition year today asking me, are we going to get a workshop? Can we attend? So it's interesting. I have seen the difference. Those students are definitely more educated on their own bodies and they are a lot more aware, which is really, really positive.
Yeah, it's a great thing, isn't it? Like you can even see by the questions they're asking that they really do have a decent grasp even about their own period.
Absolutely. They're a lot more educated than what we would have been at school. And I've also noticed they aren't as embarrassed or they're not as afraid to kind of just say, Miss, I have my period, I need to go to the toilet. Or just, you do notice change like that in the teenagers compared to what it would have been like for when we were at school ourselves.
My name's Lara Sulga. I'm at St. Michael's Holy Faith and I'm 16 years old.
So we're here for the endometriosis discussion today. Had you ever heard about endometriosis before?
I did, yeah, because my sister actually suffers from it, but I just didn't know a whole lot. So
So what did you learn about it today? What do you think is the kind of the main thing you take away from today?
That it hasn't been like researched about enough, even though so many people suffer from it.
Yeah. Were you surprised at, you know, how sore and how like serious it can be for some women? Were you surprised at that today listening to the talk?
Yeah, I didn't even realize that my sister like went through so much pain because of it. I know, I feel like I'm so much more like educated about it.
My name's Meg McCartan, I'm 16 and I'm also at St. Michael's.
Had you ever heard of endometriosis before today?
I did hear about it, but I didn't really know a whole lot about it until we did the talk today. The main thing I learned is that like the endometriosis cells aren't only found in reproductive organs. They can be found in your brain, in your lungs. Like, I didn't know that part. Like,
yeah. Were you surprised at that?
Yeah, very surprised. That seems very severe.
Yeah.
Megan Hall, I'm 16 years old and I'm also a student from St. Michael's.
So were you ever aware of endometriosis? Had you ever heard of it before today?
Yeah, I've heard of it before, but like I didn't know anybody personally that was affected by it. But I did know, like I knew it was a sore condition for women, but I didn't know like anything, how it was formed. I didn't know anything other than it was just sore.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that I think I learned from today is that you actually can see it on scans. Like I thought there would be a way to test for endometriosis, but it turns out you just have to keep going back and keep, you know, note some patterns in your symptoms. But I didn't know anything like that. Like I thought there'd be a diagnostic process, but there isn't.
It is kind of remarkable in 2026 that given half the population are going to, you know, have to deal with their period on a monthly basis, and the number of women that we know that are dealing with endometriosis, why we don't have more talks and conversations and workshops like this for students, particularly students in all-girls schools as well. That's just some of the students from St. Michael's Holy Faith Secondary School in Finglas in Dublin who attended the Endo and Me conversation. My thanks to St. Michael's School and to Aoife, Rachel and Ruthann as as well for inviting us out to the Endo and Me discussion. As they said, if you want to bring that to your own school, you can get more details from their Instagram and their webpage at Endo and Me too. Damien Donoghue is the chair of Endometriosis Ireland. Damien, has anything changed for women living with endometriosis since the HSE published their national framework for management last year?
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for having us on again and being a champion in this space for the last while. The progress that is moving forward is thanks to the likes of yourselves giving it the airtime it deserves. Has it moved forward? It is moving in the right direction, but at a snail's pace. We're still faced with the same challenges, evidently, with the audience there, you know, asking simple questions like, about diagnostic and processes of scanning. There's a lot of unknowns, and I guess we're dealing with it in the first instance as a menstrual condition, and it's much more than that as well, as we're well aware. So while these volunteers, and that's what they are, doing this fantastic work to raise awareness, is a part of, well, I'd be asking the question, where is it from the government's perspective and the Department of Health? That seems to be the obvious step that's not there, and I'm hopeful that that's going to be implemented soon. We've got indications from the department that that's on the way, but that is the first step, raising awareness, being able to say the word. I really like the start of that message where they're like trying to spell it out. We've gone in the other direction. We've just called ourselves Endo Ireland because last year in the Dáil, it was just embarrassing that nobody was able to pronounce it when we were trying to change legislation. So it's making it more accessible, because if you can't say it, how are you even going to raise awareness? So I really like the guy's approach in that respect. But yeah, it has moved forward. There's been a lot of activity from a lot of advocacy groups. There's another team working as of last month called Misha up in your neck of the woods, and they are being sponsored by the HSE, and they're doing a similar menstrual education campaign. So there is progress, and I see that there is an awareness from the Department of Health and from the Minister of Health that this needs to be addressed. But is it happening quick enough? Absolutely not. Our patients away.
They did just, sorry, Damien, announce only last October. I mean, one of the last times I think we spoke to you on the show was after the announcement of this kind of defined clinical care pathway for women and girls, I think is how the HSE described it, for people living with endometriosis. So there should now be a plan that if you're diagnosed, this is where you go to get treatment and management.
Yeah, and I guess what has been, and since then, there has been quite a lot of task force meetings. So there has been an appreciation that the patient needs to be at the center of this to give the feedback. So that's a positive. But has there been some confusion in terms of people accessing that care? Absolutely. We are hearing it on a daily basis that patients are going to consultants and they're not able to access that care still. So there's confusion in terms of accessing funding, where to go. There has been an appreciation that we actually put a complex care that's required, and that's quite a lot of care, that does need to be outsourced to other jurisdictions. And accessing that has been tremendously difficult for people from a financial point of view, and also just getting the doctors to sign off on it. And that's still the case.
Dr. Bart Kuchera, who's the Deputy Medical Director at Beacon Care Facility, is joining us here, Damien, on the line as well. Is that still part of the problem, Bart? Are we still just exporting this problem?
Oh, yes. Now, you know, the prevalence of endometriosis is very, very high. In fertility patients that I'm seeing mostly, is like 1 in 3 compared to 1 in 10 women in general population. So it kind of accumulates in our specialty. But yes, you can hear the stories, you know, how patients were treated or were not treated, and then they come down to infertility, and we see the end point of it. Now, the positive thing is, and as was mentioned before, that there is a patient's pathway becoming more and more clear, and there are task forces assigned in hospitals just to deal with this problem, you know, in a multidisciplinary way, including pain management, including surgical management and medical. And finally, you know, there is a link with endometriosis and infertility, just to incorporate ourselves as well. But the size of the problem, I think, is bigger than the system could digest initially, and it has to evolve further.
And I take it, Bart, from even talking to you previously, an awful lot of women who are maybe experiencing fertility difficulties often don't know they have endometriosis until they, you know, arrive in front of the likes of you.
That's true. And I think it's an underdiagnosed problem in a way. So much so that, you know, we see younger and younger women being diagnosed. So definitely the problem is there, and it won't disappear because of unknown reasons. It's in the population. Doesn't seem to just, you know, vanish itself. You know, the management, there's no cure, there's no prevention really. So we have to take it as is. And it is making fertility harder. It is making infertility treatment harder as well. But all in all, most of women who do have endometriosis will have children. And interestingly, most of women who do have endometriosis, they have or had their children not knowing that they have endometriosis. So it's not like a one-to-one. If you have endometriosis, it's just like, you know, a sentence, you're doomed. No, none of those. Obviously, there are advanced cases where it is a definite cause of infertility, but on the other hand, it not always is such a case. What I like, though, is that, you know, this initiative that you know, sparks interest in young women around the age of, you know, puberty, where some information will sink and they will know that what's normal, what's not normal, when to seek help in adult life. Because, you know, in teenagers, they also suffer, you know, hormonal imbalances, and many of the things will be very much alike with endometriosis symptoms, and they will be like, you know, anxious about it, but quite unlikely to have endometriosis at teenage, although we've seen that. So, you know, it happens that we have 21, 22-year-old women, so just right after the high school, being diagnosed formally with endometriosis, which is a new thing.
It just seems like such a no-brainer. I mean, I would have thought to have seminars or workshops, whatever you want to call it, like the Endo and Me that we experienced this week, to have those rolled out in nearly every secondary school across the country, because whether it's an all-girls school or not, I mean, every girl is going to have some male influence in their life, whether it be their dad, brother, partner, husband, down the line, friends, whatever it is. I mean, I would have thought it was vital for everybody to be aware of it. This texter says, my 24-year-old daughter suffers terribly every single month. She's curled in a ball in the bed for about 2 and 3 days each month as well. Can't keep anything down or in. She's already been sent for an internal scan that came back with nothing. She has had no follow-up since either. She is going to the doctor again next Friday to hopefully get something looked at, get looked into further. But outside of how it affects her monthly, is there anything specific that she needs to say to the doctor to hopefully get on her pathway to some long-term assistance? I don't know, Damien, is that a question you can answer?
Yeah, and this is what we offer in our helpline. As I said, it's not explicit medical advice. It's just guiding us who are the doctors that are informed in this space. Some will say they have an interest in endometriosis. Some are actual experts. We are, as Dr. Bart pointed out there, for the size of the population affected, we are vastly under-resourced. We are looking at a population base of 300,000 women affected in one shape or another, be that from a fertility, debilitating pain, or what have you. And we have probably 4 or 5 doctors that can actually deal with complex endo. That's, you know, that math don't add up. If you want to see where that woman and her poor daughter is going to go to, well, we need to see where they're actually, you know, experiencing the direction of care at this moment and direct them accordingly. But more often than not, they have to go to another jurisdiction. That's the default mode at the moment, and we need to change that.
That's the big part of the problem. For anybody looking to attend the Endo Ireland, your annual conference takes place this month, doesn't it?
Yes, and we have a mixture of Irish doctors. We have a great doctor that is well known in the community, Dr. Dinos, who's going to be coming up from Greece as well. So we have a balance of both the internal options and the external options, and that's on the 28th in the Talbot Hotel. Still loads of tickets, well, a good few tickets available, and you've been a great supporter of that in the past also. And it's an opportunity for the community to come together, and the community really is starting to really bond together, and that's evidenced by, you know, this is in the news cycle monthly, and it needs to continue to be there for us to really affect change, because
it's really down, as you said, to the, it's listener stories, I suppose, and listeners sharing their experiences with us on the programme. Look, as always, if you want to do that, drop us an email. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. For the moment, Damien Donoghue, Chair of Endo Ireland, and Dr. Bart Cachera, who's the Deputy Medical Director at Beacon Care Facility. Thanks a million for joining us, and to all the team at Endo and Me and St. Michael's Holy Faith School in Finglas in Dublin. Thanks for joining us on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.